It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Donnie, you're out of your element!
Por el camino del desierto, el viento me despeina. Suelo aroma de colita, luna del aire. Ella de lo lejos, una luz en tela. La idea de mezcal, te vi por en la noche. Ella estaba a la entrada y la campana de sonar. Y me dijo ya mi mismo.
Film Sociology Artist in Residency, Gypsy Peace.
I wish we could afford having an artist in residence. That's great.
Yep.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on the Twitter at Matthew Sozi. This show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. We also have a blog, which took Thanksgiving break off, but you can still read it at...
the blog's not here
today,
it's
with its parents. It's with his parents.
It's home for the weekend.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to hang out with their friends JoJo, Essay, and Sandwich.
Yep.
And you can read the blog still, though.
Yeah, at filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The gentleman providing the superior version of Hotel California.
That's right.
That would be Kobe Slagle.
Hello.
And third time's a charm. Well, second and the first time were as well.
Woo!
And returning once again is and part of her her farewell to Indiana tour.
Oh.
Oh. But we have technology, which we'll explain in a little bit. I'm going to explain technology as a whole. Get ready. But no, we have.
It's going to be a lean show.
So, but also a guest that has and a substitute host who has not one but two intros. Ladies and gentlemen, Gina Wagner.
We are Sex Bomba!
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
We are Sex Bomb. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
One, two, three, four.
Kim.
We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in. One, two, three, four.
Especially Matthew Sozi. I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
And the other intro.
Love that.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr.
Welcome, Gina.
Hi.
For all your soft kitty needs.
Yes, you can go to
hauntedflower.com. I've been trying to make money and sell out all day.
And stuff,
because it's Black Friday, so you should shop online instead of with other people.
Did you guys?
With other people. Now, this is shopping that does not require stepping on old people and knocking them to the floor.
Or smelling them.
Or urinating while in line. I saw that picture on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Was somebody marking their territory?
Afraid so. Afraid
Whoa.
So.
Yeah.
Did you guys have
they
any
must
Black
have
Friday
seen
deals?
Life of Pi. What?
Do you have any Black Friday deals?
I think we have a deal right now where if you buy four items, you can get an Angry Bird shirt for free.
Okay. I don't play Angry Birds. But...
And some stuff is kind of on sale. You just have to go and look.
But it's always a good time to visit Haunted Flower.
It's always a good time.
Always.
There's Big Lebowski shirts there and stuff. And
yeah.
Soft Kitty.
And stuff. And moving up to the adult table as if somebody from the adult table died. Dan's hanging out. Yep. Great Uncle Maury passed, so there's a space. So how was
this? Really is Thanksgiving week, isn't it?
It is Thanksgiving week, and by the way, I want to say I had a great Thanksgiving. I had a fun time, but I want to say I am thankful for, among other things, the family and the work that I love to do, and the shenanigans that I get to pass off as work. But also I have a producer and an engineer who is willing to come in on a day off.
Indeed.
This is technically a day off, except for those who work on air, because someone has to be here. But he is in, and also guests that are willing to come in, especially on a busy Black Friday, but you're not having people knock each other over coming to your house.
Well, we're thankful to be here.
We appreciate it. All right. Good good Thanksgiving for everybody.
Yep.
Better than the Eli Roth movie trailer.
Really low key for us.
Really low key. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
So it was his mock trailer. I'll tell you now. It was Eli Roth's mock trailer in Grindhouse.
Oh.
You never saw Grindhouse?
No, I didn't see that.
I saw that one.
That was
I remember
probably the
that
best
one.
Of the lot.
Oh, so, Thanksgiving.
Quite good.
Because
It makes fun of horror movies from that were named after holidays.
Mm. Watch out for Thanksgiving.
70s and 80s.
Different time.
Different time. All right.
Eli Roth did Hostel. Therefore, I don't have any interest in...
I totally understand, because I sat through both of those films and really don't want to ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Unsettling.
So. Yep. And I would never make you watch that on a bet.
Good. Oh, wait a minute.
Because it would corrupt you.
I still owe you a Pam Grier movie, don't I?
Oh, wait. No, or did you give me one?
Well,
you gave me a movie.
You said
you gave
you watched...
me the steak.
Yeah, I gave you the steak as part of this. I'm sorry, Fantasy Football Talk has been...
Film Talk preempted for Fantasy Football catching up.
But no, I you had the steak.
Yep.
And you prepared it quite nice. And Fair Sweet Bianca is the mayor of Flavortown, apparently.
Yep.
Whoa.
That's what she declared. Well, the steak, not herself.
This is getting weird.
But no, you watched Bucktown, but I thought I had already given you Bucktown. So
yeah, you already gave me Bucktown.
So I still need to bring you a Pam Grier movie you have not seen.
Oh, yeah.
So it's working. And of course, we're still in the battle over Kobe's cinematic soul.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll continue that.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Opening, pressing on.
And so it is Thanksgiving weekend, and the holiday shopping season has started. But you also need a break, and there's some movies you can go take a look at and give yourself a rest when you're not knocking over old people or going into HauntedFlower.com to do your safe shopping. But also opening a film starring, well, one of your other unofficial duties here, Gina. You're the Bradley Cooper correspondent.
Yes, but I failed in my duty this week. I didn't see this film.
But it opens, so it's out there. But Silver Linings Playbook with Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, Robert De Niro, Jackie Weaver, hearing good things about Chris Tucker. And it's directed by...
What?
It's directed by David O. Russell, who gave us I Heart Huckabees and Flirting with Disaster and The Fighter. So that is also out there. But I want to start with, and this is a film we got to watch, Mrs. Sosie and I got to watch last night. Last show. It was one of those 10:30 screenings, but we went anyway. But it's Life of Pi, and it's the film from Ang Lee. And... again, I've had to say this before in the last few weeks, where the advertising is a little deceptive, and because first off, the kids' film correspondent, we asked Emma if she wanted to go see Life of Pi, and she just kind of like cheesecake, Kobe just, but that's a Room reference, and but she referred to it as the Man Stuck in the Boat with a Tiger movie. And I'm like, well, it's more than that. But I think that's all you see.
That's what Abdul called it.
But wouldn't you want to see a movie based on that alone? Because that's what drew me in. I didn't
read
the book.
That alone. I've not read the book either, because this is not book sociology. It's film sociology.
We don't read books.
I didn't mean it like that. I don't.
Books are hard. They have
books
words.
Are hard. And math is hard, according to Scholastic Barbie. No, that's an old toy reference. But in this one, we have a young man who is... looking for his spiritual identity. He early on, prior to the big payoff, which is the boat and the tiger, is he's studying different religions. He's trying to find his path. He's trying to find his own identity. And then, about a third of the way through the film, they're going to move from India to Canada. And on the boat ride over, there is a massive, massive tidal wave storm, and, well, the boat sinks, and the kid, his dad, runs a zoo. So there are zoo animals in the ship. This is how the tiger gets stuck in the middle of the ocean on a boat.
And the tiger's name is Richard Parker.
And why is it named Richard Parker?
Because there was a mix-up. His tiger's name was supposed to be named Thirsty, but when they switched the paperwork to get the tiger to the zoo, the guy who found the tiger and the tiger's name got switched, so they had to call him Richard Parker.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Terrible.
It is terrible.
I thought it made him sound really classy.
Because he had...
You feel like you can have a really intelligent conversation with Richard Parker.
Yeah, but you never called him Richard. His friends don't even call him
no,
Richard.
No, you call him Richard Parker, first and last.
Especially when it's a tiger and you're on the boat with
you
him.
You have to be respectful or he'll eat you.
That's right. He'll do bad things to you.
Yeah.
So, and then we get to the big payoff, which is, yes, this young man that's stuck on a boat and other items that he's making float. And how do you survive being shipwrecked on a lifeboat with a tiger?
Does it become Castaway only instead of a volleyball, a tiger?
Kinda. But it's more than that. And I think
I don't think the volleyball was gonna eat him.
No. But there are moments as I was watching this that it did, yeah, you will get some flashbacks maybe with Castaway. For me, a little bit of 127 hours, and I think it's the isolation and the feeling of being trapped. The Old Man and the Sea, a book I have read.
Yes,
thank you.
Me too.
Oh, good. And for me, and I don't want to give away too much, but near the end, the man who shot Liberty Valance, and what I will say about that, and it's the question of what is true and what is legend, and I will leave it at that. This is all told in flashback, and usually that premise kind of bugs me. Is that, for instance, like Saving Private Ryan, where at the very beginning you have an old person, and then they drift, and the extreme close up of the eyes come, and then they turn into a younger version of themselves, even though the old man in Saving Private Ryan is not Tom Hanks. He winds up being Matt Damon. I'm sorry, am I ranting about that movie again? All right, let's move back to Life of Pi. but it is surviving, and it's not only surviving for himself, but also surviving with the tiger, who's actually keeping him alive as well in his own way. It's shot in 3D, and it's probably the best 3D film of the year.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did see it. We did see it in 3D. I saw it in a theater in Richmond, not the biggest 3D screen, which was a little bit of a bummer, but once you get caught into the story, it was well used. I would say like Avatar use as far as atmosphere and scope, as opposed to, you know, gotcha moves and things flying at you. And so I would say it's worth checking out in 3D. And there's also the fact that because this is being told in flashbacks, the look has, and I guess I'm borrowing a line that was used in Fresh Air, it's a combination of it looks really fake, but it also is computer generated very, very nicely, including the tiger himself. It doesn't look like it's shot. I mean, you know, it's on a set, but you know, it's not, it doesn't look like the tank that they filmed The Perfect Storm in, places like that. So I was really, really impressed with this. I really like the spiritual journey that this young man goes through, and yeah, some good rapport between a young man and computer generated tiger. So,
Which you don't get to see that every day.
You don't get to see that very often. So, you know, there was, you know, interaction between Liam Neeson and some wolves and other woodland creatures. I don't think they had as much chemistry in the gray as they do here in Life of Pi.
Yes, 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 yes!
Now, you said the trailers for this are a little bit misleading, which when I see the trailers for this and have been seeing the
And
trailers,
they also use rock music, which you don't hear any of in this film.
Oh.
No, you don't hear Paradise. Mm. That's dumb. That's what Joe Shearer says.
But from looking at the trailers for the past few months, it appears to be, oh, it's going to be a nice story about a boy on a boat with a tiger.
Much more than that. Okay. Much, much more than that. And I think because the talk about religion and this kid's spiritual path, that might turn some folks off. They might think it's, you know, when you think spiritual movies, you think, a lot of people think of, you know, Kirk Cameron and those god awful pictures. This is not the case, not at all. So, Gina, your 5 cents on this.
Wow, I'm cheap.
No, you're not, because actually the term is 2 cents, and I just doubled and
halved
upgraded.
It.
Yeah, you were upgraded.
Whoa, okay, that's better. Well, I was sold from the second I heard there's a tiger in the movie. So I went to see the movie for the tiger.
She's pro-tiger.
Yes.
I'm pro-tiger.
But you weren't rooting for the tiger like you were rooting the wolves and the bears and the gray, right?
Well, I certainly didn't want the tiger to die.
Right.
So, yeah, I was kind of rooting for the tiger a little bit because I wanted him to make it.
But to survive, not to eat the other.
Well, yeah, I was hoping everyone could get along. So I was rooting for the relationship if there was to, you know, be one. The movie is, you know, a really great story path. I loved the whole journey, and it was visually stunning. Even though you're looking at it and you're like, that's not real.
Now, did you see it in 3D or regular?
No, I saw it in 2D because 3D hurts my brain. But I could see how cool it would be in 3D just because of the way it was done. I even leaned over to Dan. I'm like, wow, this would have been really cool in 3D. And I never like 3D movies.
Because your brain hurts.
Yeah, it just hurts. It gives me a headache.
Okay.
But this movie, it definitely would be worth it to see it that way because visually it's amazing. It's all told, you know, as a memory, so you can interpret it whatever way you want. It doesn't have to be realistic. And there were just so many moments where I was just literally oohing and aahing in the theater.
And there is an emotional... You mentioned Castaway. There is an emotional payoff between the two characters, which I don't want to give away. But when it happens, it's heartbreaking. But it has to be. I'll just leave it at that. It also helps that you have a 3D film directed by somebody who knows what they're doing, and that's Ang Lee. I mean, this is the man that's given us Brokeback Mountain, Hulk, Sense and Sensibility, Love, Caution, The Wedding Banquet. In fact, my favorite computer-generated star, Ang Lee, used CGI in Sense and Sensibility.
Really? For what part?
More clouds.
It needed to be cloudier.
No, they needed it to be fluffier.
Oh,
and
okay.
Lighter. So that's an example of using something for texture or for background as opposed to, you know, Sky Captain or Prometheus, where we're just creating a whole fake world. And I mean, it does that, and we see that in this. There's a lot of underwater footage that's pretty impressive, and also looking under the water as things are floating by and swimming by and flying by, and it's cool. It looks cool. And usually, when you say visually stunning, that's usually a critic euphemism for boring as hell, and that is not the case with this picture.
Oh, no, it's exciting.
So
cool.
Yeah. Well,
the storms are
out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They are intense.
So, and it's shorter than Titanic.
Now, you said you saw this last night at 10:30?
I saw this at 10:30.
Okay.
And so I got home and got to sleep by about 1:30, and then I was on the air at 10 a.m. Oh. You're welcome.
Okay.
So this is really great because you stayed awake through the movie, so we know that it's attention-getting, because otherwise you probably would have passed right out.
There were four other people in the theater, because it was 10:30 at night in a non-Indianapolis town on Thanksgiving.
Everybody was shopping or watching some foosball.
Or sleeping.
Foosball?
Foosball.
And NBC was showing Thursday night foosball. Here we are, BW3s in Noblesville. We got foosball action going on here.
We got Jimmy and Chuck.
Oh, they got another round, and there's another pizza. Wow, this is intense. We'll have to add that to only a game, foosball section. Yeah, so, no, I would definitely say this is, if you get a chance to see it in 3D, do so.
See it.
And I would even say, yeah, so you can even see it at night, so it's worth paying the full price if you must. So, all right. Also opening in theaters yesterday, or Wednesday, I should say, we saw this Wednesday night, the entire family, is a new animated feature called Rise of the Guardians. And this features the voices of Chris Pine. Yes, Chris Pine got a voiceover gig for an animated feature.
Oh, boy.
I know you're excited.
Yay.
But you also have Hugh Jackman, Jude Law, Alec Baldwin, Isla Fisher. And it's a story about Santa, although he's not called Santa. He has another nickname. But Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Sandman, and Chris Pine is the voice of Jack Frost, who is the we've seen this before in animated films. He's kind of the careless, happy-go-lucky guy who's got some magical powers because he's Jack Frost.
He doesn't play by the rules.
Yes, right. If he was a cop, he'd get results.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stupid chief. And they wind up all teaming together to fight the boogeyman, voiced by Jude Law, or which Emma pointed out, that's the narrator from Lemony Snicket.
Yeah.
Emma's got good ears. So we've kind of seen this before, where we've seen characters that we've grown up with, whether it's in mythology or storybooks, and they're teaming together. And this is another piece of deceptive advertising. It kind of makes it look like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy are kind of like the Incredibles, they're action heroes, and they're
the
not,
Avengers.
Yeah, they're not. It's not quite
of holidays
and sleepy time. And Sleepy Time Tea.
I see. Yeah.
He should be the most popular one then. That happens every night.
Sleepy Time. But it's not quite like that. There is kind of a cool story about kids and their dreams and what they believe in and what they don't and overcoming your fears.
Do our heroes face some hardships?
They do face some hardships, especially especially Jack Frost, because he doesn't like to play by the rules.
No, he doesn't even play by his own rules.
No, he doesn't.
The only thing missing was Jude Law saying to him, you know, you and I are a lot alike. You and I are the same. Actually, there is some variation of that. But so, and it doesn't pander that much, and I'm always worried it'll be, you know, catchphrases and pop music, and it does turn into an action hero movie, which it doesn't for the most part. At least it doesn't irritate me, which is a quote you won't see in the ad campaign. Matthew Sosi says, doesn't irritate me.
That's kind of like, is that the equivalent of a... the scenes breathe and make you feel.
Or my favorite, which I said about Hitch, not psychotic or retarded. You won't see that in the campaign. So anyway, so pretty decent vocal work, yes, even with Chris Pine. This is better than that film he did with Elizabeth Banks and Michelle Pfeiffer, so it's got that going for it. But not tremendous. Probably won't get a nomination for Best Animated Feature, and that's okay. But it was one of those movies that it fit at the time we watched it. It was the night before Thanksgiving, and, you know, Smarter Two-Thirds and myself were in theater together at the same time, and it was just a leisurely 90 minutes, and it was fine. It was all right. Although, one production note, the gentleman who did some of the drawings on this, Roger Deakins, famed cinematographer, did stuff for the Coen brothers, and hopefully will get a nomination for his cinematography in Skyfall.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's that guy.
Skyfall.
Skyfall was awesome.
Skyfall turns.
You haven't seen it yet. Go see it.
Skyfall turns anybody into a 12-year-old boy.
Dude, gotta see it.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So cool.
It's amazing. So anyway, it's good, not tremendous, but it's worth checking out.
Now that was a good movie.
Now the other thing. Now did you see Red Dawn today?
No, I saw it yesterday.
Oh my gosh, you saw it on Thanksgiving.
I saw it before Life of Pie.
You had a double feature on Thanksgiving.
I know.
Wow.
Our family live really far away right now.
Not
so
for
we
long.
Didn't go anywhere.
So you guys just made it a duo.
Yeah, we're like, let's just go do this.
Okay,
get it done.
Let's get this movie
things done.
Let's get this movie done. Now, which one
did you
watch?
That's what it felt like.
Which one did you watch first?
Red Dawn.
Oh man. Ooh.
Well, it ended up being good because then I watched Life of Pi and I leaned over to Dan. I'm like, this movie is better than Red Dawn in the first 5 minutes. Because all it was showing was animals in the intro. I'm like, this movie's way better.
Yeah, they do. I could imagine Emma looking, monkey, tiger.
Look, the monkey has cool hands.
Yeah, she would identify each. She did that in her younger days. She would identify each. Polar bears, monkeys, tiger.
Elephant,
yeah.
Guy riding an elephant.
Hey, honey, I got it. So, okay, this is a remake. I actually saw Red Dawn when it opened in theaters in 1984, and for trivia buffs, this was the first PG-13 movie ever released.
Whoa.
And in the version I saw directed by the master of subtlety, John Milius, who also directed the original Conan the Barbarian, Russians invade the United States, and a group of ragtag high schoolers... actually played by probably 30-year-old Patrick Swayze at the time. What else? Leah Thompson was in that. Charlie Sheen.
Whoa.
Ron O'Neill. Powers Booth, I believe. But
I want to see the original?
You don't have to. I'm not saying you should.
No one's making you.
No, but it was in
is
Reagan.
Is it better?
Well, I love that. I love the headline in The Star where it says, remake is better, but it's still bad.
Oh, God. If the remake is better, then I definitely don't want to go back down that path.
I know a lot of people that love this film, and it's, you know, it was released in Reagan's 80s, and it's rah-rah America, shoot and blow up stuff. And we want to shoot things and sell out and stuff.
It does not go over in this one at all.
No. So we have a new villain and new kids.
Well,
not the new kids. That's the difference.
I heard a rumor that originally the villain was China. And that they went in and actually digitally changed the uniforms to make it North Korea.
Oh, because Kim Jong-il is a punchline. Well, he's dead now. But Kim Jong-un, yeah, it's
terrible. Yeah, they try really hard in the intro to build up some sort of thing against North Korea. Like, they're totally going to come attack us and take over. And I spend the whole movie attempting to believe that and really having a hard time with it.
So you don't think this movie's ever going to
happen? Well, in the first movie, did they not just attack, like, one town?
No, they invaded the country, I think.
Okay.
But the focus is about this particular
town. All right, because in this movie, they also established, like, North Korea is everywhere. The only places that are still open right now are Montana and Michigan and,
oh,
like,
great.
A few other states.
The militia capitals of the United States.
And, like,
states.
Alabama, with I guess the rednecks all had rifles when the paratroopers came down. So
they are the NRA.
Yeah. And it's just, oh, it's so ridiculous. I mean, you mean to tell me that North Korea invades, like, the Pacific Northwest and not only, like, takes over the town, but then chases you out to your cabin in the middle of the woods because a couple of the kids maybe injured one of their guys, not even killed him?
Not even killed.
And they pursued? I don't buy that for a second.
No?
No! And all their little rah-rah America speeches, I don't think they believe them.
That was America's beaches, meaning the sandy areas on the end. She was not quoting something else. But
it's, oh man, it's so weak. Oh, the relationships are poor. Oh, what's really funny?
Are there girls fighting? And
oh
shooting
yeah,
guns
there's
too?
Girls. They're like, and they're like, haha, we're the hot girls with AK-47s.
Is that what they say?
They
when
actually
they pop out of the
mentioned
ground?
That at one point. They're like, yeah, you don't want to mess with us. Haha, hair twirl.
by the way, Gina did the finger gesture with the hair twirl
that
when
good.
That happened. That was great.
That really added to
yeah,
that.
And what's his face? PETA from Hunger Games. Josh Hutcherson.
Yes.
Yeah,
I actually said his last name correctly.
Chris Hemsworth is in this. Josh Peck. Yeah.
Yeah. What I really love about this is they established that Josh Hutcherson is the tech geek at the beginning of the movie because he's standing there on the sidelines of a football game trying to record audio from the coach who's screaming for his podcast. That means he's a nerd.
So there's a podcast of a high school football game.
Yeah, they just throw this in randomly so that later on in the movie, it'll make sense that this kid is the smart one who can figure out how to build a bomb.
I see. And if he were female, mm-hmm. she'd be wearing glasses. And
yeah.
And have her hair up.
Definitely. Yep. And work in the library.
Mm-hmm. Library.
Yep.
No, we try to say it correctly.
Oh, you
sometimes.
Try to say it, you try not to say it like a hands girl.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Okay. So,
oh, yeah.
Lots
go Wolverines. Yay!
we don't quite believe her on that response. Kobe, you got another one?
Why are some people, like, taken to a prison camp and other people get to walk around free? If you've got this, like, group of kids that's rising up against you, why not put everybody somewhere locked up so that people can walk it around?
And the editor that let it come out is garbage! So get your facts straight.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible. It's so terrible.
Shut up!
Oh, yeah. And if people are pursuing you, go hide in a cave. That makes sense.
This
is pretty much the worst video ever made.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to go and match your 20-minute rant of Twilight on last week's program.
Well, Twilight's different because I had 5 movies to get revved up for that.
I see. Then you just had this.
This one was just 90 minutes, and I was just waiting for it to be over.
You never saw. Well, my next one will be better.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, I'm not saying you have to watch the original. You can't. I can't stop you. I don't know.
It's also an art film.
No, it's not an art. It's not an art film. In fact.
It's dumb.
There you go.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Okay, now the show's really turned into the Morning Zoo crew. We're just going to do sound clips.
It's Woo. Awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
This is not the highlight show. That's at the end of December, I think. All right, we're going to take a short break while Kobe finds more audio to play. And we'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray, including a box set that will make Kobe and I turn into 12-year-old boys singing about Skyfall.
Oh, God.
Stick around. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Hey, go to play Blackula.
We'll be right back.
one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Welcome back.
Hey, we're back.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. Hanging out with Carl Malone as well as Gina and Dan Wagner. For anybody who's ever seen the cartoon Shaq and the Super Lakers, I guess you'll understand that. So, you know, all five of you, thank you. Okay, because it's Thanksgiving week and kind of thin titles available on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Of course, with the shopping season, you'll probably be knocking people over to go buy your DVD and Blu-rays. Or you can always shop at
HauntedFlower.com.
No, you can't get DVDs there, but you could probably get shirts by people that have DVDs out there.
Yes. So, lots of movies and TV shows and stuff.
Stuff.
Big Bang Theory.
Yes. Lots of soft kitty stuff.
Doctor apparently. Who.
And Doctor Who. All versions.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get through a couple of these. Oh, does anybody need The Expendables 2 on Blu-ray?
No.
No. No, you just go see that in the theater, you laugh about it, and you go home.
What Gina said. There you go. Wow. We got another clip.
Happens again.
The first one I enjoyed because of the novelty fact that you have, you know, guys in their 60s and over still stomping tail, and it was over the top. But unlike the movies that they made in their prime, this time they know they're making silly stuff, and they do a little bit in this one, even though they bring in Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris. Oh, Chuck Norris comes in and they play the theme from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because the guy who stars in that movie has a career, so he doesn't have time to go play with the old guys in the home.
You know, we have Chuck Norris shirts at hauntedflower.com, right?
That's great. And by the way,
it's really important.
His person he endorsed lost. he can go hang out with Meatloaf.
Yep.
But
that's a party. Chuck Norris and Meatloaf.
Boy, they know how to book the acts, don't they?
I would invite them to my party. That would be entertaining.
Really?
It would be funny.
Well, I mean, one thing. You wouldn't do that ever. You wouldn't invite them to every party you had. You'd invite
once
to say, oh, man, hey. So, like, the next time you have a party, be like, oh, man, remember that time Meatloaf and Chuck Norris came by?
That was hilarious.
This sounds like the party in Ted, except it's the dude from Flash Gordon. Yeah. So, yeah, Jean-Claude is in this, and, yeah, Willis and Schwarzenegger show up because Schwarzenegger's got not much to do.
When
he's promoting his book and needs to you know, keep financially raise his illegitimate son.
Oh, you went there.
So did he. So, hey. But the problem is the film is starting to take itself a little serious at times. I think it's taking itself. There's moments on it where it seems like, okay, everybody has to have a catchphrase and everybody has to have like one ridiculous scene. And I mean, it's one thing to wink at the camera. It's one thing to make the film stop to a long turnover and do a slow motion wink at the camera, do a slow turn back and continue the action. It feels like that. You know, and kudos to Jet Li. He got out of this early. But don't be surprised if there's a third one, you know, because Burt Reynolds and Steven Seagal are available. Don't be surprised.
Do the catchphrases return?
Oh, yeah.
So they're repeated.
Yeah, they're repeated.
Okay. It's not like,
and
oh, there's Chuck Norris's zinger, and then there's Schwarzenegger's, right. And then there's, yeah.
And there's still, I want to know where, a mercenary like Sly Stallone gets his eyebrows done. Just curious. So, I'm worried that it's going to wear out its welcome, and it's starting to a little bit with the second one. So there's
I feel that way about The Hangover.
I don't want a third one of those.
Yeah, that should just
go away.
No.
That's done. Mm-hmm. It's done.
Yep.
So all right. A couple things for you fans of PBS, because that's where we are. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Big Bird says thank you.
Saw his footprints outside.
Yeah, I know. He's free. The Dust Bowl is out now, the Ken Burns documentary about said bowl. So you can go check that out. Y'all like it. There's that.
Yeah.
Also on Criterion. And we talked about this on the show the other week.
Y'all love it. So
y'all.
You know, good 2 hour films that are 3 hours or longer, and Michael Cimino's Heaven's Gate, which is the film, of course, known for crippling MGM and United Artists Studios. And back now, granted, you said, you know, the '70s were a different time, Mr. Slagle.
Yes.
Which is his way of saying film was slow, and that's the decade. And you know, Fair Sweet Bianca has issues about the decade as well. However, this was also a time when the directors, I'm going to be an old person now and lecture you. This is
everybody settle in.
Settle in. I loosened up the belt from the turkey and I just cracked open a new one. So here's. But this was when the directors got to run the studios, like Scorsese, Coppola, Cimino, Brian De Palma, and of course, eventually the big titles and the big budget film didn't do well, and they lost their power. And then the studios were taken over by corporations, to which they are still ruling today. And in fact, with Cimino, who had won an Oscar for The Deer Hunter in 1978, this was his next project, an ambitious film about fights between cattle rustling, between cattle barons and immigrants in the Southwest, and with Kris Kristofferson, John Voight, Mickey Rourke, Christopher Walken, Jeff Bridges, Brad Dourif. I mean, it looks gorgeous. It is a beautifully filmed motion picture, but it's too damn long. And you can see every dollar of it on the screen, but it just needs a lot of tightening up. And I think if they had shaved even 30 minutes off of it, it would be considered, I think, one of the finer films. Film scholars and film nerds are starting to turn around on this film in the last decade or so. You know, for a long time, it's been a punchline. It's been like an Ishtar, you know, it's almost, you know, John Carter, I guess, is a current punchline of that, even though that didn't, it got a guy fired, but it didn't cripple Disney. So it's a good film. It's not the worst film ever made, and it just happens to be a film that, you know, almost bankrupt the studio, so there is that. And also, finally, there's a couple other things. Death Trap, if you've ever seen that, that's the murder comedy with Michael Caine, Christopher Reeve, and Diane Cannon. Mm-mm. It's 30 years old, and there's a big plot twist, which I'm not going to tell you, even though it's 30 years old. You should know by now. The musical Gypsy, which I'm surprised Fair Sweet Bianca has not made you watch, Mr. Slagle. Speaking of musicals, can you check the Palladium, see what's playing there this weekend? Portrait of a Lady, the Jane Campion class fighting film with Nicole Kidman, Barbara Hershey, and John Malkovich. And another thing I'm surprised Fair Sweet Bianca has not made you watch, That's Entertainment, parts 1-3, which is basically a highlight reel. They did three highlight movies back in the 70s and early 80s. Basically, they took some of the Warner Brothers and MGM musicals, the greatest hits, you know, highlights from Singing in the Rain and other films, and they just kind of splice them together. It's like a greatest hits album, only in movie form.
Oh.
MGM United or MGM and Warner Brothers musicals not high up on the priority list, eh, Gina?
Nope.
So, slightly higher than the original Red Dawn?
Yes.
Okay, so there is that. So
we've got nothing this week
because it's the holiday weekend.
Yep. But next Friday, 7:30, The Music Man.
Ooh, 76 trombones.
Love The Music Man.
So there is that. Check that out. And oh boy, better have to go look for this one. It's out on Blu-ray. Tarantino XX, meaning 20. So in one box set, Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bills Volume 1 and 2, Death Proof. He haven't seen it.
No, haven't seen
it. And Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
And there's also an extra disc which has a documentary, some of the highlights they talk about in The Onion in their listing. There's three commentaries in True Romance, which you still need to watch.
Yeah, still need to see that.
Even though he wrote it but didn't direct it, that's Tony Scott. There's a song from Death Proof. Critics Corner about talking about Tarantino, and a documentary called 20 Years. It has been 20 years, ladies and gentlemen, since Reservoir Dogs lashed onto screens. I was in college when Reservoir Dogs came out. So
I was 5.
Shut up. Don't want to know. but yeah. Quite a foundation for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that we're still talking about. Very like 98% of college men.
Stoked.
I am stoked about Django Unchained opening
yep.
next month. So should be a lot of fun. So I guess I'm going to go across the room. Kobe, your favorite Tarantino film?
Though I've not seen them all and cannot speak definitively because of that fact.
That's fine. I'm talking best one you've seen.
That I've seen, Jackie Brown. No question.
Very good. And that's not in an ironic hipster way either.
No.
No.
Nope.
Really good source. That is the novel Rum Punch, written by Elmore Leonard. Oh, I'm sorry. Former film sociology guest, Elmore Leonard.
Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
That might be my favorite. That we have Robert Irvine imitating his wife, not really imitating his wife.
This is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
We have Tommy Wiseau in his own universe.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WF. Why I Indianapolis?
We have females that love talking to me, but makes Kobe nauseous whenever they do the show ID.
Hi, this is Padma Lakshmi, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI FM radio.
But I think Elmore Leonard's might be my favorite.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's the most, you know what? It's the most personable. So anyway, good source material. Best performance from Pam Grier. I mean, it was just, Tarantino's known for reviving a career, whether it's John Travolta or Robert Forrester. And in this case, it was Pam Grier, who is amazing in it. And some of the non-linear storytelling that he does in Reservoir Dogs, and he does it in a much larger scale in Pulp Fiction, and he does that with one scene in Jackie Brown. So anyway, that's really well done. Really love Robert Forrester in it. Bridget Fonda's fun. I mean, it is. I think it's his most mature work. And I know some people kind of call Shenanigans on his earlier work and some of the excess of those films, as well as something like Inglourious Basterds or Death Proof. But
I like Inglourious Basterds a lot.
Wrong advertising for Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. They passed that off like it was Brad Pitt's Dirty Dozen, which it's not entirely.
Yeah. I think Pulp Fiction is probably the default. Oh, Pulp Fiction is my favorite.
Because you had a framed poster of that in college.
Yes.
We all did. Because we were not rappers or athletes, so we couldn't have a framed poster of Scarface.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I think...
It's quite good.
For me, Pulp Fiction is all about Jules Winfield and Vincent Vega.
That's all?
Yep.
Okay. There's that.
Yes.
Gina?
Well,
I'd like to hear Tarantino because you're a woman from a female perspective.
Well, I really do love Jackie Brown. I really enjoyed Reservoir Dogs a lot. I enjoyed a lot of the films, but I always end up going back to Kill Bill because it was a girl kicking butt.
Big time.
Yeah.
In two films.
Yeah. I've actually got samurai swords at my house.
Because of that?
No, because they're cool.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Non-related.
You know, home protection and all that. It's my security system.
Yeah, just calling an operator.
Yeah.
Is there somebody in your house? Shing! Yeah. I got it.
But I love the storytelling. I love the characters. I love the way it was filmed. And I loved the soundtracks, too.
Yeah,
I actually had those in my iPod for a while.
And, of course, music from Kill Bill was an intro to this show in its early stages. Mm. So there's that.
And...
Yeah. We used one of the songs at our wedding.
Really?
Yeah. The What'd one where Lucy Liu comes in with her posse.
Yes.
They're like walking down the hallway.
Yeah.
That really dramatic music.
That's what we use.
That's what our wedding party was introduced to at our reception.
Excellent. It's almost like an NBA
team. We were really cool.
I bet. Did you have a sword on your side just in case?
No, I was trying to play a little bit more classy than that at the reception. Dan, what was your favorite Tarantino?
Same one.
That's why we're married.
Yeah, because you don't want a Tarantino debate to bust up a marriage, so that's not good. Not good at all.
You gotta get along.
We all do. So, all right. Let's move on. Yeah, I know we don't have time for Trouble Man. We'll save that for next week. That's all right. So that is out. Yeah, so it's now time to start getting stuff for your friends and getting stuff for
buying
yourself.
Buying stuff for other people.
And buying stuff for other
people.
Not
for you. That's or right. For yourself and then wrap it up and try to forget about it.
And
not that anyone ever does that.
Well, Charlton Heston
my mom.
Did until he was... Your mom does that?
Well, I heard that she was really crabby yesterday because she was trying to buy herself a sewing machine online that was going to be her Christmas present. She had difficulties. It's the internet and my mom.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is her VCR still blink noon?
Probably.
I see. Well, of course, the voice you're hearing is a guest and regular contributor to, and you will still be a regular contributor to Film Sociology. We'll have to figure this out. But Gina Wagner of HauntedFlower.com, and you guys are becoming Michiganders once again next week.
So, going back to the homeland.
Yeah. I love you make it sound like Mecca.
Well, apparently Michigan was free of North Koreans. Go Wolverines.
Yeah.
I think we can defend our peninsula we're going to be living on.
No, Ted Nugent will defend your peninsula.
Also, well, I've got my samurai swords.
Oh, by the way,
I'm ready.
His candidate lost. So how are things going over at Haunted Flowers? Did you check the receipts? Or
Today's a very exciting day. We're going to be refreshing the order screen every 5 minutes
okay,
or so.
Saying, or ticker tape is shooting out of your...
Oh, yeah. Dan's been showing me graphs all day. He's like, look, it shoots up right here.
So what is new and exciting and available besides the Soft Kitty stuff?
Well, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is kind of a big deal.
I've heard of that.
Definitely Doctor Who. Adventure Time. Have you heard of Adventure Time?
Yes, because Emma enjoys watching that, and my wife refers to one of the characters as Pillowcase Head.
That seems somewhat accurate.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what his name is either. I know it's my wife calls him Pillowcase Head, so it's all right.
We've got lots of fun classic stuff, too. We've got Looney Tunes. There's some Sesame Street.
No
I just
way.
Put up a Bert and Ernie hats today. Lots of cool new stuff. Lots of hats right now. Lots of fun hats
now
for
are
winter.
Are they like yours? Is it hats with gloves?
Yeah, some of them have like little ears or something, or some of them have little tassels that hang down. There's a Sonic one. The tassels hang down, and they have the gold rings attached at the bottom.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is totally cool. Lots of costume hoodies for like Batman, Superman, Flash. That's cool.
Okay. Very cool.
Wonder Woman.
Toon stuff.
My Kobe. Wonder Woman hoodie has like a little crown across the top.
Go.
It's what? Cool.
We're doing a show right now.
I know.
Okay.
We're also shopping.
Are you looking for something for Fair Sweet Bianca? Is there a Patriots one? By the way, speaking of both not debating over Quentin Tarantino, yeah. Colts fan, Patriots fan. Boy, how will they ever get along?
Whoa.
Kind of like, I don't know, hanging out with Colts fan, the Lions fan. All right.
Division Pacers and the Pistons.
Oh, jeez.
There's no bigger rivalry in basketball.
Yeah, there is.
Than Detroit, Indiana. No.
This has not been said in at least 6 years, so. Hey, there's actually a little. Now Kobe is not the only one that does little audio tidbits, little audio nuggets of joy. I've created a little something, speaking of which, and I'll have to expand on this as time goes on, but I've labeled it WMCI, which of course stands for What Makes Kobe Ill.
Oh.
Check this out.
Is this going to be a new. Is this
Maybe.
Gonna be a regular
this,
thing?
This
now?
Might be. This might be,
good.
But this is.
I cannot
this is an
wait
early
for this.
Can't wait.
I would love to hear this.
This is an early Christmas gift, holiday gift, whatever, December gift that I am going to give to my beloved producer/engineer. Ladies and gentlemen, what makes Kobe ill?
Hi,
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Padma. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Gail, how are you?
Good. I'm glad. I'm great.
Yes, you're glad and great. You're glad and great.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All you gotta tell me now is wow, 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 wow.
Three.
Man.
So let's see. There's me schmoozing with Padma, me schmoozing with Gail, Elvis Costello, and your friend, your buddy Matt saying the number three. Those are things that make Kobe Slagle violently ill.
He looks a little green.
He looks a lot green. He looked like it's Dennis Green.
He's so upset right
the
now.
The Elvis Costello thing, I mean, that's not, it's just not fair. It is just not fair. She's on a completely different level than him.
Like Lynn and me. And, Padma and Salman Rushdie. They're not a couple anymore, but, yep. By the way, new Diana Krall album, really good.
Yes, it is.
Not just because it's album cover of the year. I still remember Dan when I called Tamara Drew poster of the year. Now they're going. I want to see what the album cover looks like. And as soon as you do, of course Matt would like that. So there is that. All right, Cobe.
What?
I think it's time to play your intro.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you?
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
I don't know what I've seen since we last spoke. What did I see?
Wait, it's your segment, and you don't know what you've watched.
Did you watch Lincoln?
No, but Bianca saw that today.
She did?
Yes.
Did she declare it the stuff?
Yes, that was good. Amazing. I asked, was it as amazing as everybody says? Yes.
Was it more amazing than Twilight?
I don't know.
Because that's the barometer, you know. Now, did she hear Gina's rant over the movie? No, not yet. She can listen online at WFYI.org.
As far as I know, I haven't been unfriended yet.
Because that's what gets you unfriended, political differences and opposition of Twilight.
Twilight difference.
If you're on the wrong team.
But you're on no team. You're on grown-up movie team.
Pretty much. Well, so, I don't think Lincoln had any cute guys in it.
No?
No, well, no shirtless werewolf types or shirtless vampire types.
That's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. That's a different movie.
I know. I felt like Lincoln could have been called the 13th Amendment. That's like the whole movie.
Yes, but it's not a biopic. It's just about...
I know, but just call it the 13th Amendment. I kind of want to see a pic that's all Lincoln.
The problem is that there's a film that was made a while back called The 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas.
So you think it'd be confusing?
No. I will tell you. You laugh at that. But this was one with Antonio Banderas, and it's set in the 13th century, and it failed miserably.
Because Antonio Banderas wasn't trying to emancipate the slaves.
Okay, all right, smart girl. I'll tell you this. That's the same reason. What I just told you is the same reason why John Carter was not called John Carter on Mars.
Because they screwed it up?
Yeah, because Disney put out a movie called Mars Needs Moms, and nobody saw it. And the studio assumed movies
Mars is bad.
Mars is bad, so we're going to take out the Mars portion and just call it John Carter.
And everyone said, who?
Exactly. But at least
he can jump really high. Do you want to see him do that whole movie?
Did anybody know it was a science fiction action film before seeing it? Did you?
No, I had no idea what was going on in it. It looked really confusing in the trailer.
Yes, but you
enjoyed, all I knew is he could jump.
You enjoyed the jumping, though.
Jump. Jump, jump.
Jump, jump.
That's the whole movie.
Not House of Pain.
No.
Oh, jump, jump, and Alien Dog.
That's what it's called. Ladies and gentlemen, the new film from Disney, Jump Jump and Alien Dog.
And I'd suddenly it makes billions of dollars.
That would actually be cool.
In select theaters and IMAX 3D.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen anything since last week.
Oh.
Because we didn't go to the movies and get caramel popcorn.
Caramel popcorn.
Off menu popcorn.
Off menu?
It's not on the menu. Wait.
So you have to know somebody.
No.
You just slip them something?
Somebody.
Well, that sounded wrong.
They all know. Everybody working at concessions knows that they have caramel popcorn, but you will not see it on the menu.
Why?
I don't know.
It's a conspiracy.
We don't talk about it.
It's like Fight Club?
Yeah. The first rule of caramel popcorn is you don't talk about caramel popcorn.
You don't order caramel popcorn. What are you going to have? Be like a little signal where you're like in the sting where you have to go.
You're like, it's sticky.
Are you really? For the record,
baseball
because.
Signals.
I would say that or the Three Stooges. By the way, yeah, Kobe just told somebody, just told us to steal third. The hell is that?
And some caramel popcorn.
We didn't even watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Okay, first off, if you have it, or you can stream it online.
We have Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Okay, so what are you griping about?
I don't think you hate the holidays. I haven't seen anything.
Oh, the war on Christmas is dead.
Well, one thing I figured out is Peppermint Patty didn't know what she was talking about, because I had popcorn for Thanksgiving yesterday, and it was wonderful.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah. I didn't have any turkey. I had popcorn, and I had a great Thanksgiving.
What was your Thanksgiving dinner?
Rotisserie chicken and steamed vegetables and pudding.
Yeah.
And if you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. That's true. If you don't eat your meat, so. Wow. Now, you had your popcorn ritual.
Yep. Lots of flavors. Oh, and I went all out with the pudding. I found peppermint marshmallows. I sprinkled it with peppermint marshmallows. But it was intense.
So, Kobe.
Yeah.
Just a reminder. Mm-hmm. Peppermint, not a seasonal flavor. Fudge is, apparently.
Not where I'm moving to.
See, that's the thing. Thank you. You can get fudge in Michigan 24/7, 365, 366.
It's
going to
be dangerous.
Leap years.
But pumpkin fudge will probably be seasonal.
Yep.
But maybe not bacon fudge.
Have I had fudge yet this year? No. And you know why?
Because
it's not been the season.
Because I've not brought it in and made you eat it. I do. I give him the.
You force feed it to him?
Yeah, I give him the straight jacket and the eye clamps. And
No,
but we had this argument about whether fudge is a seasonal thing or not, and then I brought some in February or March, and of course you ate it.
Hell yeah, because it's fudge.
You don't turn that down. You don't know when it's coming back.
So I love that.
Because it's seasonal.
But
it only shows up here a couple times a year, apparently.
But I have to bring it in just out of spite. You know what? I should have gave you 3 pieces.
Is that going to be the next edition of WMCI?
Fudge. Just me going, fudge.
I'm here in Grand Rapids, Michigan in a fudgery, and we have fudge as far as the eye can see.
At a fudgery?
A fudgery.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know. Probably.
You know quite a bit about fudge. I think you have it all year round. You just don't want to admit it.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm the kind of guy that won't admit that he has fudge year round.
It sounds like a room in the Willy Wonka factory. The fudgery.
The fudgery.
The fudgery. It's where that kid is that they need to get out of the tube.
There are many, many different comebacks, but we're just not doing that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Gina, this is not goodbye. It's just we'll call her.
It's Skype you later.
Skype you later. Really? Am I allowed to say that?
I don't know.
I'm old. I don't know if I can say that.
Learn technologies.
It's a verb like Google.
Yeah,
Dan
you Skype
says,
people.
So. Yeah, I've Skyped.
I'm just making sure you know what it means.
I do. Fudge. All right.
We can do that.
So have a great weekend. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Hauntedflower.com and
shop
and you don't knock over people, and Kobe's dancing like he's in the Peanuts special. So
but
we'll be in touch. We will call you, and we'll have to do the first cross state lines Gina chat.
Woo!
So take care.
Make fun.
Have fun. Happy trails. Give my best in my home state. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Go Lions.
We go!
Go Pistons. Win something for God's sake.
Good night, Fort Myers.